Appreciate that very, very much. And you know, as we listened to the words of this poem, which so aptly encompass what is going on and has gone on in the world today, where we have learned of the purpose of God in creation, and how creation has been ruined because of sin, and that God sent his only Son, the Lord Jesus, in order to make a way of salvation, redemption for you and I, that we might come unto him. And as we come to the end, we're reminded of the soon coming of our blessed Lord Jesus, for each of his own, to redeem us and bring us up to glory, that place what he has desired before he created the scene, that we should be in the midst where he is in glory, where he is in the midst, around us, gathered around him. And as I was speaking to one brother earlier on in this week, anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus, his expression to me was such like this, that Michael the archangel was wetting his lips as he raised the trumpet to his lips, ready to blow. And this is the coming, the nearness of the coming of the Lord Jesus for us, to bring us unto himself. Are you ready? We've been reminded each night this week. Are you ready? Ready to meet a Savior or a judge? It's not too late. Come to him before it's too late. We've had a wonderful time this week. A wonderful time in the scriptures as we've looked in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the theme that has been put before us, and I share this for all that are here with us this evening, young people, you've been with us, we've been together all week. But the theme that has been before us that we've heard is the prayer of Moses when he was on the mount. That prayer that he said to the Lord, Lord, I pray thee, show me now thy way. We were challenged that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Our way. It seems right to a man. But the question is, what's God's way? What is the way that he would take? And as we were reminded in looking at the people, the children of Israel, in the place of redemption in the wilderness, and Moses on the mount, and sin had come in. Why? Because they were looking at the wrong man. Sin had come in, the golden calf, that which was of the world from Egypt, brought into the midst of a redeemed company. Sin had defiled the camp. Moses would come down from the mount, and he would place the challenge that has been before us all week. Who is on the Lord's side? And this is the challenge that we want to leave with you as the very challenge that we began this week. Who is on the Lord's side? Do you stand for righteousness and truth, that for which the name of Jehovah stands? Or do we find ourselves in association with all of the idolatry, all of the wickedness, all that which man has brought in to the company of believers, defiling the camp? And then we read and we heard and repeat the prayer of Moses, Lord, show me now thy way. We didn't refer to it, but when we think of the children there in the wilderness, the Lord had said to Moses, after the mediation of Moses, he said to him, he says, I'll send my angel, and he will go with you. He will lead you up into the land. And you know what the response of the people was? They mourned because of this evil report this evil news. How discouraging to go up in the land and not have the presence of the Lord in the midst of the people. But then Moses prayed again, "Show me now thy way, O Lord. Take us not up hence if you don't go up with us." And this has been the key for us this week as we consider, even as we've had in ministry, where two or three are gathered together unto my name. There am I in the midst of them. That there is a place in this scene of professing Christendom, that there is a scene and a way and a path that the Lord has promised his blessing. Oh Lord, show me now thy way. This is the prayer, and this is our prayer now as we would come to the close of this conference and consider that now we leave this place. And I was thinking, I remember as a little boy, the very, very first time I came to this conference when my parents brought me here. And I spent a week in what we called then the Calderwood classes and spent a week here on these campus grounds. And it was a week of conference. And I'll confess, I thought at the beginning, you know, come here, a week of conference? Really? And I remember getting in the car and leaving the grounds and driving out the road back into the city and thinking, wow, that was wonderful to be where the Lord's people are, to be there where that was all wonderful and beautiful to me as a child. It was wonderful to be in a place where Christ was honored, and it was just overwhelming to me to think to go back into this world. But that's what we're doing tomorrow. That very same trip, going back. And as I thought about this, I thought about the disciples. I thought about the disciples in John chapter 14. The Lord had been speaking to them that he was going to depart, that he was going to accomplish a death in Jerusalem. And the disciples' hearts were saddened. And then we come to John 14, verse 1, and the words of the Lord Jesus. And the words of the Lord Jesus to his own were, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, there shall ye be also." This was the expression of the heart of the Lord. This is the very reason that he came down into this scene. This is the very reason that he created this world. This world was created really as a very platform for the Lord to come and display his glory before men, and that he would have a place to redeem men back to himself. His desire was ever that his own would be around him, where he would be gathered in the midst of the people. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He came and communed with them until sin came in. But the desire of the heart of the Lord was ever to be in fellowship with his people, where he would have the rightful place, where he would be glorified, where his rights would be honored and respected, where he would be the one that would be above all others. And where he would be able to shed forth his love and display it and express it to all those whom he has brought to himself. This was ever, ever in the heart of the Lord in eternity past. Did sin derail such a purpose? Nothing would derail that which was ever in the heart and purposes of God. Nothing would take him by surprise. He had a purpose, and he would finish that purpose, which he began to do. And it cost him. And this is the point, if we would summarize our studies this week. And we could ask them in really three questions. The prayer of Moses, what is the path? Then, what is the cost? And the third, what or who is the object? If there's going to be a cost, what is the object? What is the gain? And the Lord Jesus, he came, and he, it cost him everything. It cost him his life. So that we can read in Isaiah 53, that we can read there that he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The redemption of the soul is precious or costly, and this was ever in his heart. He would purchase for himself a people. He would purchase you and me. And he wanted you, and he wants me, and he wants us, and he has purchased us as an eternal possession. And this is the hope that we have before us, that he will finish the work that he has begun to do when we shall be ushered up into his presence in glory. But what an encouragement for us when we consider the end and the hope, and that it cannot be taken away, that it's reserved in heaven for us, and that we have this end in view. And when we think of the Lord Jesus, who came and he suffered and he endured. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Why? For the joy that was set before him. The joy. He had the end in view. He had eternity in view. He has the thoughts, dear saints, of that day when, as we read in Revelation 5, where he, as the Lamb, freshly slain, will be in the midst of all his blood-bought company around him. This is the end in view that he has in his heart. And he is waiting with anticipation for such a day. But until then, he has given to us a path. Show me now thy way. And you know, and if we go back to John chapter 14, it's in that very same chapter that the Lord says unto his disciples, after he encourages them about the place, he says, and I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you here alone. I'm not going to leave you here in this world that has rejected me to fend for yourselves. I'm not going to leave you here to do your own thing, but I'm going to give you the Comforter, the Spirit of God, divine persons that come to indwell and unite us together and to give us that power, that strength to bring us through this scene. And young people, we've talked about that. Opening up the book of Ephesians and looking at the different operations of the Spirit of God in the believer, in the individual, and in the company, the assembly. But what and who is the object? And when we go to Hebrews 12, in verse 2, where we've been quoting from, we read there, looking off unto Jesus. Looking off unto Jesus. He is the one who is the object. He is the one who is the object and should be the object of our hearts. And when we read there, looking off, leaving everything else behind, don't look at all the other things, and that Christ is the object that would be set before us. And that as we leave this conference, that we would be, as we go through this scene, that Christ would be the one, the object that would fill our hearts and keep us looking off unto Jesus. We spoke of the behavior in the house of God, that there was an appropriate behavior in the house of God, that we might know how we ought to behave ourselves. And if there's a behavior in the house of God, and as we are here, members of his body, the house of God, is there not a behavior that is appropriate in our own homes? And is it consistent with the testimony of the name of Jesus Christ? And are we here as a result to give honor and to give glory to the one who is the object of our undivided hearts, who are filled with Christ in all he has done, in his redemptive work, in his blessings, in all he has brought us into, in our position in Christ in heaven? We're not of this world, but our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for our Savior. Oh, may this be that encouragement, that as we leave and we drive home and we go from day to day, that we would be those who would be looking off and looking unto our blessed Lord Jesus, who will take us and lead us home in the soon coming day that trumpet shall sound. Oh, what a resource. What a resource that we have in him. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the one who is coming back very soon to take us to him in the glory. But what a joy it is to walk with him until then. Until then, with him. Oh, that he would be the one who would fill our hearts, keep us and guide us. Keep looking off unto him, young people. Looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame, and he is the one set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look off unto him. And he will keep you and guide you until that soon coming day. I thank you, young people. I want to say this to you in closing. This has been a special year. This has been a special year for those of us who have been with you in a particular way. And I want to say this. It's 1 year. We were speaking the other night that we have not had to deal with one issue as far as your behavior this week in the dorms, at night, your deportment on the campus. And I want to thank you for that. That's something special for us, that when we take home, because you know, when we have to deal with something, we take that burden on our hearts home with us. And this year we can go home and we know that we didn't have to deal with that. And I want to thank you for that. We appreciate that very, very much. And the time that we can share with you and interact with you throughout the week is very special. We look forward to it. And we thank you for the opportunity to share this time with you. And so we commit you unto the word of his grace, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep looking off unto him. And he will never fail you. Trust in him, and he shall ever keep you and guide you. Let's just bow our heads and give thanks.